I was made aware that there's a Calvary Chapel pastor. His name is Wes Bentley. And Wes Bentley's been out here to teach at the men's conference. And he's the pastor of a ministry called Far Reaching Ministries. And it's worldwide, mainly focused, though, in the Sudan. The ministry basically began as the Sudan has, and I believe I am correct, the longest running civil war in the whole world. And so the Lord called him out there to raise up chaplains, men of God, to go into the battlefield to minister to the men that were fighting against a corrupt government. And it's no joke. It's a serious ministry. The men are trained up under difficult circumstances. Everyone that is chosen knows that the chances of them perishing is real. They do it anyway. And so, and he's been out too. Pastor Jerry Brown knows him well too. He's taught at the Pig Rose. I think it was last year that he was there. But he talked about this knight's code of chivalry. And the reason why I got it for you guys, man, is we live in a culture that is so self-centered. You know, the values and mores and things that are important today were not when I was growing up. And you guys know that I wasn't raised by a Christian family, but I was raised by, you know, a maternal grandmother and maternal grandfather who instilled values in myself and my two brothers. You know, wholesome values. You know, you work hard, you respect and honor the elders and all that. But that's the way America was back in those days. It's not like that now. And so, you know, when we get caught up in the things that we get caught up in the lifestyle of sin, you know, and the whole thing about sin, it's not, you know, the sin of alcoholism, the sin of drug addiction, the sin of fornication, or what if it's the sin of I. You know, that's the main problem with sin. You know, me. I'm focused on me. And, excuse me, the hell with everybody else. You know, and that can be done overtly or covertly. It could be done with an emphasis on it, or it could be done undercover. But that's still the problem. And it's not just, again, those who get caught up in it. That's the culture, the war that we live in. So I wanted us to really look at these. And men, in your turn, I want you to know these, but also find some biblical precedents for each one of these that you can go to and say, yeah, I understand that. God says I need to do this, you know, to serve the Lord in valor and faith, to protect the weak and defenseless, to give refuge to widows and orphans. Each one of these has a biblical application, and you can find them in the Word of God. So I want you guys to do that, all right? Interesting week this week, to say the least. And what we experienced as a ministry, and what I experienced as an individual. Oh, I'm sorry, one last thing. 22nd this month, we're having a combined service baptism. So if you want to get baptized, if you haven't been baptized, you know, now's the time to do that. God says we need to make a public profession of faith. And baptism is just an outward sign of what's happened inwardly. The whole thing of being baptized is being submerged, the old man, and then coming up anew. And so, Ryan, take this and just pass it. Pass it around if anyone wants to. Thank you, buddy. wants to sign up for that, make sure we do that. There are a couple of instances that occurred this week that really had me grateful. You know, when Ken was saying, is there a praise report? Anyone got one? I've got one, man. I am so grateful that I'm clean and sober today. Never mind the weeks, the months, the years. All that stuff is good. I am grateful that I am clean and sober today. Today. Because there was a time when I wasn't. And so that's a praise report. But there are a couple of things that happened this week that really brought into focus, with great focus for me, crystal clear, where my sin took me. And I was confronted with it in a real way. One of them was receiving a phone call from the wife of a young man who was here. No, take that back. It was from him at first. He was in West Columbia in the parking lot of a Walmart. He had been here several weeks ago, had left, went somewhere else, walked from there, started using again. And so his wife had put us on a conference call, and she was on it, he was on it, and I was on it. And he was talking about, they're coming, I'm surrounded, there's all kind of unmarked cars. And he was very paranoid, I could tell. He had been up for many days, and it was in the middle of the day, and, you know, for the last several days, it's been hot. So he was out there, man. I was talking to him, you know, trying to talk him down. I said, where you at, man? Just tell me where you at. I'll come get you. So he told me. So I got in my car. I drove. Couldn't find him at first. So called his wife. His wife called him. And I was able to guide him to where I was at. And as he was walking towards me, he had on some dark shades, a pair of shorts, some Timberlands, and a white wife beater with a big old, looked like beach towel draped over his shoulder. And he was sweating profusely. So he gets in the car, and we start driving. He's still talking about, you know, the unmarked cars and the police and this and that. And he ended up falling asleep. So I get him here, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? I don't know what to do. And then he says, you want to know why I left U-turn last time? I said, yeah, why? He said, because it's too hot. It's too hot to be in U-turn. That's what I did. I promise you. But I didn't do it out loud. I chuckled to myself. And it wasn't a ha-ha chuckle. It's like, wow. Now, you got to remember, I just said when I saw him, he was sweating like a runaway slave, right? He'd been out in the streets ripping and running and buck dancing for Satan for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that, taking penitentiary chances, life and death chances. And he said that. And he was so sincere. And when he said that, I chuckled in myself, but it wasn't a, man, ha, ha, ha. It was, man, that's sad. And when he said that, I knew that I've done all that I could. I said, you know what, bro? You're free to go. So like, oh, what do you mean? I know. No, I said, no, you're free to go. Because I got some stuff I got to do. Matter of fact, I'll walk you up to the top of the property. And we walk, and he's like, man, why can't I just let go? Why can't I just let go? I said, I don't know, bro. I don't know. And then he was like, let's make a deal. Hey, can I sleep on it and then come back tomorrow? I'm like, no. This is not, let's make a deal. Either you're ready now or you're not. And he left. I haven't heard from him since. In the midst of doing that, I get a phone call from my administrative pastor, Joe Scott, and he's telling me that a mutual gentleman that we both know is in the parking lot of Laredac, hysterical. Give him a call. So I called the gentleman, was able to get him to get the person that was driving him and bring him here. He came here. He came into the office and we were talking, and he was a little bit more settled by the time he got here. Went, got something to eat with him, brought him back, he ate, and then I said, you know what, man, why don't you get some rest, and I'll see you in the morning. We'll talk about it. Well, that was yesterday in the morning. He told me about the last few months, how he's been, you know, on a crack binge, and how he's done some things. And I'm not going to, you know, air his dirty laundry, his personal stuff. But a lot of the stuff I could identify with, because when I was out there, I did crazy stuff. I pawned stuff. I sold stuff. I put myself in life and death chances for another hit. And it was just all coming back to me. And it's like I'm hearing this and I'm seeing me, because that's what I did. So when I got into the office yesterday, you know, Joe told me that the individual who was here was having a difficult time. He was inconsolable, slapping the couch where he was at, and just, you know. So I went over there, and a couple of the men, U-turn, were there trying to help him. But it was like something that I've seen in a long time. And it was definitely spiritual warfare. And you could tell. So I got a few of the pastors that were here. We went over there. I got some anointing oil, anointing them, and we started praying, laying hands on them. And it was serious, family. It was serious. And what it did for me is it made what we do here all the more serious, all the more important. Because that wasn't make-believe. He wasn't make-believing. That was real. That was real. That was absolutely real. Started praying and speaking in the name and the power of Jesus, and he got even more agitated. Asked him to say Jesus, and he wasn't able to. So it was pretty intense. So I went home. Felt like I'd went like 15 good, strong rounds with Mike Tyson when he was in his youth, and I lost. Mike beat the snot out of me. I was just beat up, man. And I just got to thinking. Started thinking about, you know, what I see, you know, not just in the men here in U-turn, but the men that I've seen over the years come and go. And so the Lord just laid on my heart, man, we need to talk about what's real and what's serious. And there's a spiritual warfare that's going on that Christians should be aware of. Paul says, I will not allow you not to know the wiles, the schemes, the strategies, the stratagems of Satan. We got a bunch of Christians walking around like, dum da dum da dum da dum da da, like they don't know, they don't understand. And for those of us who have an issue with drugs and alcohol, all the more reason. But I'm sorry, man. I don't see, and this is not an indictment on anybody here. This is a blanket statement. I don't see men of God, Christians who struggle with drugs and alcohol, getting prepared like this is war. I see guys trying to get a job. I see guys trying to get a girlfriend, a wife. I see all of that. But I don't see guys trying to be soldiers. I don't. And y'all finna get y'all butt ate up. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Y'all worried about a whole bunch of things that are inconsequential to preparing you for the real world. Because there's an enemy out there. And he is real. And if you'd have seen it yesterday, just ask Jake and ask Kyle what they saw. Ask them. It was real. And it would give you an altogether different perspective on what's important in this life, man. What's important in this life. So if you would, please. Turn to Exodus. This is Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. There were many battles along the way. This is the first time, and we know what happened. They didn't make it. It says in Exodus 17, beginning in verse 8, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. Verse 11. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Verse 15. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And he said, the Lord has sworn the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Nisi. And it describes a banner or a flag. And the idea is that God is victorious in battle. And when he is, his flag is lifted high. And so we see here is a spiritual picture of the staff of God, God's power being exalted. And when we do that, we have victory. But when we try to fight Amalek, our enemy, in our own strength, the enemy prevails. And so I need to declare Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. The victory belongs to him. And he will bring it if I'll depend on him. So that's the first thing. I need to depend on the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, we're going to look at a familiar passage to most of us, if not all of us. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. There it is. The devil's got schemes. He's got strategies. He knows them well, but he also knows us. 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. This is the second thing I want us to see, man. This is spiritual war. You know, my problem is not that which I can lay my natural eye on. That's not the problem. My problem is not I don't like my supervisor because he treat me like, you know, I'm a piece of crap. My problem's not with the person that I see, it's the spirit behind it. The two spirits in this world, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of God. And those who don't know Christ are ruled by the spirit of the Antichrist. And so I need to understand that. I need to understand that this is spiritual war, and I'm in the middle of it. Then he says, because of that, therefore take up the whole armor of God, or the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, that's the first piece, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's the second piece, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, to be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Paul gives us a picture of what a Roman soldier was girded with when he was prepared to go to war. He talks about a belt. He talks about a breastplate. He talks about shoes on my feet. He talks about a shield of faith. He talks about the helmet of salvation. He talks about the sword, which is the word of God. And he also talks about prayer. So this is the assignment for men of U-Turn, that I want you to go through each one of these pieces of armor, and I want you to explain in your own words what that is speaking of and how that's applicable to where you at. You need to do that. And then when we meet next week, y'all need to turn it in. That's the weekly assignment. Because for each one of them, what Paul is showing us in the natural world, how the Roman soldier was girded, Paul is saying we need to gird ourselves spiritually for the spiritual fight, because each one of those pieces of armor has a spiritual application for us, and y'all need to find out what that is. When I thought about this earlier today, I was going to share with you guys. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Y'all need to put some work in. Y'all need to put some work in. Y'all need to appreciate what all of that does and what it means. So anybody not understand? Anybody don't like what I'm saying? I don't like what you're saying. No, it's good stuff, man. It will help you understand the whole point and purpose in this whole idea of armor. And then finally, go to Romans real quick. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 37 says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. God has given us the victory. And the reason why I don't have victory in the tribulation and the trials and the testing that he allows to come in my life is because I'm trying to take care of it in my own strength. The devil didn't make me do it. The devil don't have to make me be wicked. I'm wicked and evil without the devil because I am sinful. That's the nature of man, sinful. So I don't need any help doing bad things. But Christ has already made a way for me to be victorious in it. Am I willing to allow him to have victory in me, through me? So that in this experience we call U-turn for Christ and us going through it, 2 months, 8 months, 10 months, whatever it is, am I allowing God to teach me and show me where I'm at? Because whatever goes on with you, man, you know, you can blame him, you can blame him, you can blame anybody. Well, that ain't right. That ain't fair. So that's why I'm acting out. Man, miss me with that. That ain't why you acting out. Whether it's fair or unfair, right or wrong, man, God has given me a way to deal with it that honors him. And when I don't, it ain't nobody's fault but mine. That's it. When I act out like a little two-year-old, throwing myself on the floor, spinning around, and mom said, boy, if you don't get up, I'm going to leave you, and I'm still sitting there, that's a temper tantrum. God says he's giving me the victory. So are you putting on the whole armor of God? Are you having victory? And if you're not, shame on you if you're a believer. Because God said, he says, the one who gave up his son, will he not give us what? Something. Did he say that? What did he say? He said all things, family. He didn't say some things. He didn't spare his son. So why wouldn't he give us everything that we need to have the victory? Well, guess what? It is finished. He already has. The Bible says that when Christ died on the cross, what was that verse you said, Joe?
Colossians 2:15, disarmed.
Disarmed.
Yes, sir.
All the powers of darkness. Disarmed. Y'all know what it means to be disarmed, right? Some of y'all gangsters and robbers. Yo, man, put them up. Put your hands up. Y'all know how this go. Y'all know how this go. Yeah. That's what he did. Satan had to put his hands up. I quit. So y'all get the idea, right? We're going to try to raise up some soldiers for Christ, some special forces soldiers. So that's what this is all about tonight. We want God to focus on showing us what we need to do in our own personal lives to be more than overcomers. That word is Nike. Just win, man, for the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we bless you and thank you and we give you glory. Father, help us to visualize and see through spiritual eyes the true warfare that's going on in the spirit that's behind any and everything that's contrary to your word, Lord, and what you stand for and what you've revealed to us, God, and that we would be able to indeed put on the whole armor of God. So let this be a night of preparation, God. Let this be a night of exaltation. Let this be a night, Lord God, where we take to heart those knights' codes of chivalry, Lord, that we would recognize that we are called to a higher purpose, to a higher calling. Bless the night, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before we get started, I want any and everybody who wants to stand up, who wants to get prayed over, that they really want to grab hold of this whole idea of being, you know, fully equipped and armed with the weaponry of God so that they can have victory. If that's what you want, God has spoken to you and he said, I will do that for you. I want you to stand so I can pray for you. I want you to stand. Because he's given us the victory. All we got to do is tap into the power. Father, thank you and bless you, Lord, for the victory. Lord, everything that we need, Peter says, pertaining to life and godliness is found in the knowledge of you. Lord, the more we get to know you, the more we draw near to you, the more you reveal to us, Lord God, the more we are equipped to live a godly life. So, Father, help us to put on that full armor. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, helmet of salvation, Lord God, shield of faith, and most definitely prayer, Lord God. A piece of the armor that for many of us, I know I'm guilty many times of not using enough, Lord. Prayer is what connects us and helps us to communicate with you, Father. But prayer is not a one-way communication. Prayer is you speaking to us. And so there are times when we just need to be quiet and hear you, God. So, Father, may that be even now, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one that's here, that's standing and asking, Lord God, crying out, saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to equip me. Help me to put on that armor. Help me to understand what it is to have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, would you reveal those truths to me that I might be able to apply to my life and then go into battle to vanquish the enemy? Not so that I can be prideful. Look at me, what a great Christian that I am. But Lord, that I can glory in you and exalt your name and give you praise for the victory. And so, Father, we bless you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.